AD.
Well, you're at work. Scott Zolak.
I think it's a disaster.
Mark Bertrand.
I know. I want to get it out.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Excellent choice, D-Bone. Rest in peace, Aretha Franklin. Died this morning at the age of 76. We continue on with today's program, which will preview the big rematch of the Super Bowl between the Patriots and the Eagles. Adam Jones convinced it will be a knockdown drag out. Both teams looking to either assert themselves as the true champions.
I didn't say both teams.
I said, excuse me, because I remembered exactly what you said.
I didn't say both
You
teams.
Said this will settle it once and for all.
Oh, I did say that. Yeah, sorry. Yes.
Both teams will put forth a full effort in an effort to not only win the game, but establish dominance in the National Football League.
Yep. Yeah, no, again, well, anyone can win one game. That's an outlier. But you win a couple in a row, it's the beginning of a trend line. I think the Eagles would like to do that. I think the Patriots would like to avoid doing that. If they win tonight, do they get... Do they get rings? What happens if the Patriots win? Do they raise the banner? If the Patriots win this one tonight, I don't know. They did have that 16-0 banner for a while. If you're hanging banners for 16-0, you might as well hang them for week two preseason wins over the Eagles.
I'll give you this. This game tonight, infinitely more interesting and compelling than Redskins-Pats week one.
Of course. It's the team
Colt
you just...
McCoy, Brian Hoyer, whatever.
You just lost to a backup in the Super Bowl.
Yes.
And now he's back out there. And I would like to see just a little bit of progress. I would feel so much better if the defense, you know, maybe forced him to punt a couple of times, created a turnover, did anything that they couldn't do
right. In
the Super Bowl a year ago. And you can't control how Philadelphia approaches the game. I said this a couple of times last night. Like, I don't know if Philly's going to take it seriously. They probably won't. I'd like to see the Patriots take it seriously after they kind of laughed off the Super Bowl last year. I'd like to see them take this game seriously.
I think they'll take it seriously, as seriously as they can a preseason game. Right up until the point where the starters leave the game and you realize
right. That's what I mean.
It's
just
not
that,
about
just
winning.
That first portion of the game.
Okay.
Once Ralph Webb is in there, I don't care about winning and covering. I don't have money on the game like Felger. I don't care about that. I just if you take the beginning of the game seriously when their starters are out there, I'd like to see them make some progress from a year ago. Yeah.
Is this, and Felger betting last week's a Redskins Patriots game, is that a man into his 40s, mm-hmm. say, who, you know, lives in Wellesley, spends a lot of time in Nantucket, is that now his equivalent of cocaine? Is this is this God's way of telling you have too much money?
Yeah, that's...
If you, because that's the old line about cocaine. It's God's way of telling you have too much money if you become, someone who more than dabbles.
Sure.
I mean, we all... blow a rail,
yeah.
you know, on the weekend.
Yeah.
But when you're...
You want to blast off every once in a while. I mean, you just gotta let off a little steam. Everybody's gonna blast off.
Sure.
Yeah. I mean, we were on TV today, you know, yeah. You gotta wake up.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. You know.
Yeah. We just did the night show last night.
But when you approach a certain age...
Quick turnaround.
You have to start thinking about the long-term health effects. Is this now, and not just for Felger, I'm not insinuating Felger does any of those things, but he did bet a preseason football game. Mm-hmm. Is this God's way of telling Mike Felger he has too much money?
Yeah, probably. Probably. My original takeaway from that was like Big Jim. You know, Big Jim was on Twitter and cheering it on and loving it.
But yes.
Initially, we were all kind of laughing. And then, I said this last week, then it kind of set in. My self-loathing kicked in. And I'm like, oh, right. He has that amount of money to just... pee away on a preseason game.
I
that would be a sizable sum of money to most people out there.
Yeah, it's like the shark.
I don't have that to be wagering on preseason football.
It's like Zoe the shark attack. You're elated at first, then you find out the guy's really hurt. You're elated.
And you're less elated.
And yeah, and that, same thing with all of us watching Felger lose money. All that's so awesome, but he has that money to lose, and mm-hmm. it takes away some of the joy.
Right. Once I realized that, I was like, I can't even get all that fired up about this.
I understand that you want to see both teams put forth a good effort tonight. I want to know, what else, Adam Jones, do you have your peepers peeled for tonight? And think about it for a moment, because Christian Arcan, I think, really got shafted in the opening segment, which was totally different. What you got your eyes on?
That's true.
So I ask you, Christian Arcan, What you got your peepers peeled for tonight?
Philip Dorsett. I'm going to see if he can catch a ball.
That's nice.
There you go, right there. That's I don't even know if he's playing tonight. I know that he was hurt this week, but I'd like to see if he can actually get open and catch a pass once, one time for me. That'd be nice.
I think Philip Dorsett, you know, you gauge, you know, how if that injury was in fact just in nothing. He popped right back up. I have to spend a little time in the tent, but back on the field, throwing balls back and forth with one of the assistants out there, if Dorsett's okay. Because I honestly believe that the... Even the hint of an injury to Dorsett put me on the absolutely full on board the worry train when it comes to receivers for Tom Brady in this upcoming season. We discussed it the other night and again yesterday. And I'm not talking about just guys to catch the ball because he still has Rob Gronkowski. He still has the running backs, which all become receivers pretty much in the Patriots offense. When, you know, for anybody, for any team who's got a quarterback, like Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers, these guys tend to figure out ways to throw the ball to most guys on the offense other than linemen. So, it's not just about guys to catch the ball, but in terms of receivers, because right now it's Chris Hogan and a bunch of other guys. That's how the receivers line up tonight. So I'm with Arcand in this one. I'll have my peepers peeled.
Oh,
for who's going to be catching the ball tonight when Tom Brady throws it?
So I you know, if we want to stick with the Brady thing, and again, in a totally different segment earlier, one of the things I was looking for is just, can Bill just start his two best corners? I'd like to see some progress there. You know, could you get Gilmore and, I don't know, is it McCourty? Is it Rowe? Like, I'll even give him a little leeway there. Just let's see if he could start both of his best corners tonight. I'll begin with that. But that was a totally different
thing. Would you consider that in terms of, like, if you're doing a coaching evaluation, mm-hmm. would you consider that to be trending in the right direction for a head coach?
Yeah.
Bill could do some two deep, starting quarters.
Some deep soul searching in the offseason. You know, if he really takes a critical look at himself, he could say, I didn't start my two best corners in the Super Bowl. Boy, I'm really kicking myself about that. I'm actually going to do it against the Eagles this time. So that was number one. I also have my peepers peeled for. Don't you just want to see how Brady looks? Like, I know that's very generic and I know that's very general, but like, we're going to get our first look at Brady. Mike Reese tweeted earlier today, Brady's playing and it could be deep into the first half, which I like. I'd like to see Brady play for a whole half. I don't know if he will. It's not a prediction, but just, I'd like to see him out there for the entire first half. When else is he getting his reps? He skipped OTAs. They've barely been practicing out there. He's 41 years old. He's got a bad back. I'd like to see how all of it looks. Like, does the arm strength look the same? Is the back bothering him? You know, does he look a little doughy out there? Like, what's his chemistry like with the receivers? What's the body language like on the sidelines? Like, I just kind of want to see what all of it looks like with Brady. If there's an incompletion, you know, with these crummy receivers, Dorsett can't catch. Is he losing his mind? Is it fire and brimstone? Is he kind of coaching him up and working with him? Like, I don't know, just all of that. I'm interested in all of that.
All right, peepers peeled for Tom Brady.
Jeepers, creepers, where'd you get those peepers?
Yeah.
Dino?
Jeepers, creepers, where'd you get those?
I don't think so.
I'm being told it to Sinatra.
Oh, that's Frank. Not a Rat Pack guy.
No.
Beetle and Maz love this stuff. They're probably rolling their eyes right now. How do you not know Frank from Dino? But this is Frank, I guess.
Golly, old blue eyes.
That's right.
When you turn, you were more of a Brat Pack guy.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which? Yeah. Right. Judd Nelson firmly in the
agree,
Brat Pack.
Agree or disagree? Brat Pack stronger than Rat Pack.
Much stronger.
Yeah.
Molly Ringwald.
Mm-hmm.
Judd Nelson.
Yeah.
Emilio Estevez.
Sure.
Those are your three cornerstone Brat Packers.
Your heavy hitters. Yep.
Anthony Michael Hall. It's kind of like the Joey Bishop. He's in there.
Yeah, he's there, but
barely.
Mm-hmm. You could replace him. He's like a Ringo.
Yeah. Who else is in the Brat Pack?
You're asking me?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Rob Lowe?
Yeah, I could. Who was in the Brat Pack?
Rob Lowe a Brat Packer? I think he was.
Ali Sheedy. Yeah. Rob Lowe. There, we just added two more. I think we may have it covered. We'll check out. Oh, you got one for us, Tom? You got a Brat Packer?
No, I was just waving to someone.
Oh, okay. He shot his hand up in the air.
Woe is me.
All right, we're going to touch on one of Adam Jones' favorite topics, and that is Jackie Bradley Jr., the week he's having Adam Jones will fill us in. He's been watching when he's had the opportunity to play. I'm sure you've been watching intently.
Yeah. Well, when he didn't play, they won, and when he played, they lost.
Beyond that, we'll just talk about Jackie Bradley Jr. with you, because that's you're here, and that's what people want to hear. Sure. You're welcome to join us, too. Why not? 617-779-0985. Hardy and Jones in for Zoe and Bertrand here on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Just because you're at work doesn't mean you have to miss a story. Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Right center field toward the gap. Jackie Bradley will cut that or try to. He can't get to it. It skips off the bottom of the wall and kicks back into center field. Ramos, the catcher, very slow of foot. Here's the throw to third. He is going to get in there safe.
Talk about beating the throw. He can't run a lick, but I give him credit. He knew that you got to try to go three here.
Been a long time since he did that. May 20, 2011, his last triple.
Boy, he kills the Red Sox. High fastball up out of the zone for a ball. He hits the ball in the gap. You see Jackie out there in right center field. Just can't get there. Sweeps at it. It gets by him. Look at that thing kick away. There's no way he would have got the third. He throws the ball all the way in. Look at this thing. All the way in, and he just beats it.
I really want to find out what's going on here. It's 11:22. It's Thursday morning. We got Pat's Eagles going on tonight at Gillette Stadium. Of course, here at the game right here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Zolak and Bertrand, they need the day off. They got to prep. Beatles got a long day, pregame, postgame.
Yeah, no, Zoe sounded deep into his preparation earlier.
Zoe's calling the game on the television set tonight. He and Bob Soucy will be on the TV side.
You get to hear any of that? You didn't.
I did. Well, I'm this year, starting the season, doing the pre and post on Patriots.com with Paul Perillo and Andy Hart. But during the game, yes, I was able to, you know, watch part of the game at the stadium, but there's also monitors around. I can hear and see some of it. And I thought they were fantastic. I thought Rob Ninkovich was really good.
Zoe and Ninkovich were just kind of, you know, they were like the kids at the back of the classroom, kind of creating mischief. And then Soucy was kind of raising his hand for more homework in the front. Like, guys, let's talk some football.
I wouldn't say he was the kid in the front. I would say he was the teacher.
There you go. That's a better analogy.
We've still got some football to call here a little bit.
Guys, let's focus.
Right, a little bit.
Ralph Webb talk over here.
So we have plenty of football going on today. We already did what you got your eyes on.
Yep.
And we did peepers peeled.
Oh, we've been peeling peepers, yeah.
Coming up at noon on the lookout, which is a different question. What are you on the lookout for tonight?
Yeah. Completely different.
Totally different.
Totally different segment coming up at noon.
Whole different approach.
But we're going to work in some baseball right now on a couple of different players that Jones... I listen to the night show fairly regularly.
You don't have to lie to the people. It's okay.
I truly do. I'm always out. Always doing stuff. And you and Arcand are great on the evening program.
Big Dong Report guy.
I do enjoy the Dong Report, but you seem to have a problem with Jackie Bradley Jr.
That's not true. I have no problem with him. I have issues with how he's portrayed.
Well, how is he portrayed?
He's portrayed as like the greatest defensive center fielder the Red Sox have ever had.
He's a very good center fielder.
To play the Jalen Ramsey game from earlier, disagree. Very, very good seems.
Gold glove center fielder.
Is he?
I don't know.
How many? you normally reserve that term for guys who have won gold gloves. That's normally how I use it.
Oh, I thought it was just like star for you. That's an actual award that they give out.
Yep.
Oh, okay.
Yes. No, but I
Silver Slugger also? Is that an actual award?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, sure. Oh,
okay.
You got a nice physical... Silver Slugger, yeah.
Yeah, the more you know.
Yep. Yeah. So he's a gold...
Not a gold glove center fielder.
No, he's not. And again, like, he's not...
Crown winner. Now, that's something that you can just say about anybody, right?
Definitely.
Okay.
You can say it about Jackie Bradley, I think.
Yeah, you can just throw that one around. I don't think you get a physical award for the Triple Crown, do you?
Like an acrylic plaque?
Yeah, or maybe three crowns stacked on one another. Maybe you could do something like that.
Duh. Hardy. Idiot.
Yeah.
Idiot.
Just get a few Burger King crowns, I think. at the end of the day.
Yaz sends you a carton of cigarettes.
But no, I don't have an issue with Bradley. I just think he gets wildly over for whatever reason. For whatever reason. I made the analogy many times. He is the baseball Marcus Smart. It's just for whatever reason, it's and I think some of this is beat writers have to justify their existence, Hardy.
Yes.
Like you have to justify your existence. You have to let people know. Because you can't just report on the game and do the obvious thing. Oh, well, Jackie Bradley Jr. can't hit, but he plays every day. What you have to do is you have to again, justify your existence. So I'm here. I'm watching the game. I see more than all you idiots out there who are following the team. So actually, he's really good. See, he can't hit, and he's okay defensively, and he's a net negative player. But... since I know so much about the game, I'll tell you how much his defense actually adds for the Red Sox. So much, I might add, that his manager decided to bench him in a National League ballpark for, admittedly, J.D. Martinez, MVP candidate, should win it. Mookie Betts, MVP candidate, should be runner-up. And then Andrew Benintendi probably should have been an all-star. So they have a really good outfield. But he also pinch hit for Brock Holt before he got to Jackie Bradley Jr. I think that game 2 nights ago in Philly told you all you need to know about Bradley. And then secondly, that play last night, we can get on Drew Pomeranz if you want. And I was very pro that trade. I was crowing about that trade all last year when Pomeranz won 17 games with an ERA in the low threes. He's been awful this season. Awful. To the point where I wouldn't be surprised and I wouldn't even disagree if the Red Sox cut him. You can focus on Pomeranz if you want. The game was lost on that highlight right there. The game was lost in the sixth inning. Bradley butchers a single, which should have been a single, butchers it, plays it into a triple, loafs after it, probably because as the ball was rolling around in the outfield, he said, well, there goes another gold glove. There's another gold glove I won't get. Guess I'll kind of half-ass it after this one. Went and picked up the baseball. If he went hard after that baseball, Ramos would have been out by a mile. Would have been out by a mile. He wouldn't have been standing on third base, and he wouldn't have scored on a sacrifice fly. He didn't score on a hit. He scored on a sack fly because Joe Kelly wound up blowing that game. So to me, you can pile on Drew Pomeranz. That has no real significance on October. Your bullpen imploding again. Joe Kelly in the sixth inning is a big issue. And I just like to scratch that itch with Jackie Bradley Jr. His defense is overrated. And okay. I think that's an example of it.
But he's a clubhouse guy. And
is he?
Well, we've learned this. He helps keep things in check. As we know, he was one of the guys who... trolled Eckersley a little bit.
Yep.
And they had the photo.
Snake in the grass.
So I
on Instagram. That's right.
Yep. Yeah.
That's right. I think you could argue that he helps keep things in line in and around the team by stabbing guys like Eck in the back by taking a photo with him.
Well,
under the pretense of, wow, I really like you. Let's take a photo
legend
together in front of the plane. And then, throwing shade, as the kids like to say,
yep,
on him on Twitter. Do you find that to be a helpful component of his person and his game?
And don't shortchange, the all the intangibles and the personality in the locker room and things with all the winning they've done in the postseason. You know, because they've won so many game singular in the playoffs these last couple of years that I think Jackie Bradley Jr. really, really added to. So I think you can see those intangibles mostly in October. Yeah.
Okay. The criticism that, yep, you have of Jackie Bradley Jr., what can be done to remedy the situation now and in the future?
Turn him into a fourth outfielder. That's what he is. Guys who can't hit but are good defensive outfielders are fourth outfielders. They're not everyday starters, not on first division teams. And I know the Red Sox have the best record in baseball. I got it. But let's see what they do in October. Like, to me, that's not a guy you should be starting every day. A guy who is all field, no hit. So that would be my remedy.
I would disagree with that because I think that J.D. Martinez doesn't belong in the outfield unless he absolutely needs to be out there. And if he's not in the outfield, somebody's got to be. And Jackie's probably the next best guy unless you want to try Brock Holt out there. I don't want J.D. Martinez out in the outfield
ever.
I'm just talking philosophically.
I'm not even talking with their current.
I'm talking about this team.
Talking with their current personnel. I'm just talking philosophically. When you're building your team around an all-field, no-hit center fielder and you're the Red Sox, that kind of sucks. That's what I'm talking about.
I don't know if they're building their team around him. Are they building their team around Jackie Bradley Jr.?
They go into the offseason. He's a starter every day. Like, that's your plan. That's part of your plan. Yeah, that's part of your team building. Your starting center fielder is part of your team building.
Yeah,
that's a pretty important position.
It is, but he's not an important player on the team, I don't think.
No, I agree. He should be off the bench. They should upgrade that position. Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
I mean, he's your ninth hitter. He's pretty good defensively, but he's your number nine hitter.
To that end, and I think Christian's onto something here, generally when it comes to, like, coaching changes or certain things, it's like, no, you don't have to have the answer. This one, I would like an answer. Okay, so if he's not going to be an everyday player, give me an example of a roster now and in the postseason. Who would you like? I have no, for me, I have no problem with JD Martinez being in the outfield. I don't think it's the long term solution. But if you want Jackie Bradley Jr.'s bat out of the lineup,
yeah, like against lefties, Steve Pierce should be your DH and Martinez should be in the outfield. And
yeah.
Bradley should be on the bench against lefties. Yeah,
I got no problem with Martinez being in the outfield in those spots and in the postseason. I don't think he's going to be taxed too terribly to the point where it's going to take away from his production at the plate if you play him out there every day. Defensively, is that your issue with JD being in the outfield every day, Arcan?
Partially, yeah, and also when he ran into the wall in Detroit and almost, you know, smashed his face open. Like, I don't think we need to take any chances with JD Martinez out in the outfield if we don't need to. If we sacrifice a little bit of offense with Jackie out there, I'm okay with that. They're 35 games or whatever it is over 500. I mean, it's like, or not even, they're like 50 games over 500. It's not that urgent, okay? You know, let Jackie run around and make catches that people like and strike out 3 out of 4 times a night and, you know, get to the playoffs and we can play it differently.
So if you're going to play it differently, then that's fine. But, like, that hasn't worked in the playoffs, just FYI. I mean, a lot of things the Red Sox have done haven't worked in the playoffs, but, like, I don't know, that's a place where I would look to upgrade. Like, you need all the hitting you can get in the postseason. I don't want a guy with a career 160 batting average playing every day in the postseason.
All right, we're going to take your calls.
Postseason batting.
I understand. We're going to take your calls on this. Arcan will get us updated here. It's Jones and me, Hardy, filling in for Zoe and Beetle.
Sports Hub Headlines.
Patriots, Eagles, preseason week 2, a Super Bowl rematch tonight at Gillette. Tom Brady and Nick Foles both expected to make their preseason debuts tonight, and Mike Reese reporting today that Brady will play and could, in fact, play deep into the first half. Pregame gets going at 4:30 with Gasper and Beetle. Kickoff at 7:30. Dan Roach and Matt Chatham have the call. All of that right here on your home for Patriots football, 98.5, the Sports Hub. Red Sox had their 5-game winning streak snapped last night in Philadelphia. 7-4 your final score. Phillies catcher Wilson Ramos with a pair of RBI doubles. Alex Cora gave the Phillies some credit after the game.
Went from 3 balls and no strikes with the bases loaded to they got 2 outs and we didn't cash in. And then, Rafi, he smoked that ball with the bases loaded. If he hits that ball in the air, it's a different ball game. But giving credit, you know, they went to the bullpen right away and they maneuvered the game and they used all the players. And they ended up winning. They're a good team.
Red Sox finished the road trip 7-2. They're off tonight, but return to Fenway tomorrow to open up a 3-game set with the Rays. In other baseball news, Braves rookie Ronald Acuna Jr., who homered in his previous 5 games, plunked on the first pitch of the game by Marlins starter Jose Urena last night. Benches cleared. No punches were thrown. Acuna left the game with an elbow injury. X-rays were negative. Yankees general manager Brian Cashman told Francesa yesterday that the timetable for Aaron Judge's return has been extended beyond the original 3 weeks that was anticipated. Judge has been sidelined since July 26 with a wrist injury, and former Red Sox and current Tigers DH Victor Martinez told reporters he intends to retire at the end of the year after 16 seasons in the big leagues. Sports Hub Headlines brought to you by Fitchburg State University. Online and on-campus fall classes start September 6th. Learn more at fitchburgstate.edu. I'm Christian Arcand on Boston's Home for Sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Your next update at noon.
Without Zolak and Bertrand, your workday is just pushing papers and eating lunch.
Is there a problem?
With Zolak and Bertrand, it's pushing papers, eating lunch, and talking sports.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Way better. Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
There was something that DJ Bean just wrote about Aretha Franklin. I thought that was pretty good.
Wrote about?
Well, just tweeted about.
Oh.
No, he didn't. He didn't.
I was like,
yeah. He banged out 5,000 words on Aretha Franklin.
My column.
Obituary. No, he retweeted. Let's see. Oh, my God. Bomani Jones? Okay. Well, this might be the first take I agree with on Bomani Jones.
Hey. You know? First time for everything.
You're going to have to read it to me because Bomani Jones blocked me and I have no idea why. I have no clue why I'm blocked by Bomani Jones, but I am. I never tweeted at him. I never said anything about him, but he blocked me for some reason.
That's awesome.
I think it's because I worked at the other station. I think he just blocked everyone.
Yeah. I got blocked by Aaron Ward years ago.
Really?
And I think it was...
Aaron Ward?
Yes.
Huh. Wasn't he like a... Wasn't he friendly with the TNR?
Yes.
Is he a Michigan guy?
Didn't we decide that was a Michigan-Michigan State thing?
Maybe a Michigan-Michigan State thing.
Principles. There it is.
It was Bomani Jones that DJ Bean retweeted. Okay. There is no particular cool or glamour she could do sexy, but that just wasn't what she did. The appeal of Aretha Franklin was pretty simply that she was better at singing than anyone we'd ever heard. There have been few so good where that's enough. That's it. That's a great, you know, Twitter encapsulation of Aretha Franklin. She was just better at singing than anyone else you'd heard.
Nothing else put her over the top.
No.
You know, she didn't need anything else.
It wasn't like James Brown, where he was the hardest working man in show business, the dancing and everything else. It wasn't even, you know, like Prince, who was also a virtuoso guitarist. And, you know, you talk about all these other great musical artists. Aretha, singing. Best singer some people had ever heard up until that point, maybe since. Just singing. That's all. That's what she did.
Bomani.
I know. I was surprised.
How about that? Well, that must be how most people feel like when they're all of a sudden agreeing with me out there. Like all of a sudden they're like listening along and they're like, wait a minute, I agree. What?
We had a good description of you today on Twitter.
Oh boy.
This is from at Friztide.
Oh yeah, Friztide. Yeah.
Sure. You know him? You guys follow each other?
Yeah, I'm well versed. Yeah.
Jones is the new breed media troll. Leaner, faster, more annoying, and more pathetic than even Felger.
I'd agree with all of that.
That's classic Friztide right there.
Yep. Yeah. So Friztide. That's so Friztide.
Friztide.
Excuse me.
I didn't see the blue check mark, so I apologize. Yeah. And maybe I.
It's normally bigger, stronger, faster. What was I again? Smaller, weaker, leaner? What was it?
No, leaner, faster, more annoying.
There you go.
Not bigger, better, faster, stronger.
It's the new bigger, better, faster, stronger.
Leaner, faster, more annoying. sounds like a parody song. They can't
do it. Weaker. Stronger. Yep. Yeah.
Leaner, faster, more annoying. Take it as a compliment.
I think we need a new intro.
No, I take everything that... What was the gentleman's name again?
Friztide.
At Friztide. I take everything that he says.
You just got frizzed.
You just got frizzed. Let the tide wash over you. Rob, in the recliner, wants to weigh in on Jackie Bradley Jr. Go ahead, Rob.
Hey, what's up, boys? Leave the frizz alone, all right?
Yeah, sorry.
But, Jones, I could see you and Murray cutting up some booger sugar between shows.
Yeah, that's usually the night show crossover.
Which
yes.
Murray? Oh, Jim Murray?
Yeah, between the crossover.
Yeah, gotcha.
Yeah, usually right at the end of Baseball Reporters, yep.
Joe Murray's a little too big to be a cokehead, I would think, right? Don't see a lot of fat cokeheads.
Chris Farley.
Oh, that's true.
He pulled it off.
That's true. Mm.
Did he?
Farley, forgot about him.
Mm. What else do you have, Rob, or is that it?
Yeah. Okay. No, that's not it. JBJ, I can't agree with you guys more. I can't stand how people talk about him. Like, he's won 3 gold gloves. I mean... What, 2 other people in division won it since he's been playing?
Yep.
And talking about a replacement outfielder, I mean, I know Steve Pierce used to play the outfield, and since I've gone over the salary cap, Rusney Castillo's hitting .325, and he's been playing all year.
Okay, so we've discussed this before. This has come up. As much as I think Jackie Bradley Jr. is overrated and kind of stinks, I would not be replacing him with Rusney Castillo, who's also proven that he can't hit in the major league. So even I have a line when it comes to Bradley. But against left-handed pitching, Steve Pierce should be in your lineup over Bradley in the postseason. Yeah.
It was considered a snub last year when he was passed over for a gold glove consideration.
He wasn't even a finalist, correct?
According to CBS Boston, this was from October of last year. Jackie Bradley Jr. has been one of the best defensive center fielders in the American League since 2013. But amazingly, has never won a Gold Glove.
Yeah, that is amazing how that's worked out. Sure.
He had what seemed like another elite season in the field in 2017. Elite, seemed. Jones.
I see. You focus on elite. I focused on seemed like.
But now, apparently not worthy of a nomination, Rawlings announced the Gold Glove finalists in all nine positions. Few Red Sox names to root for, but JBJ is conspicuously absent from the center field group.
Huh. Weird. You know what baffles me? People talk about Bradley like he's the greatest defensive outfielder. He's not even the best defensive outfielder on his own team. He's not.
It's like when Dave Grohl won Best Guitarist Award from like Kerrang! Magazine, and they asked Dave Grohl about it. He said, I'm not even the best guitarist in Foo Fighters.
Yeah, like he's not even the best defensive outfielder on his own team. Like, it's insane. Betts is a way better defensive outfielder, and people talk about Bradley like he's the greatest defensive thing you've ever seen.
Two gold gloves for Mookie, by the way.
It's ridiculous. Yeah. It's ridiculous how much praise he gets for never winning squat. Mm. And by the way, like, it does seem like he's really good defensively, because that's all anybody says. Go check your little... I think the best metric, and this is commonly accepted, the best metric defensively right now, we don't have it all figured out. I say we, us in the sabermetric community over here.
Right.
You know, because I read my Bill James baseball abstract, and I'm deep into fan graphs. We in the sabermetrics community, I think defensive run saved is probably the best stat. Go look up where he ranks. I think the last time I checked it was 12th in baseball among center fielders. 12.
I have, you know what, I left my satchel at home today, but I normally carry it around with me.
I'll check the updated rankings.
Okay.
But they're not good.
You do that. I like win probability added, by the way. That's my favorite.
Oh, yeah? I'm a big VORP guy.
No.
Always love VORP.
WPA.
Team WPAB.
Win probability added.
Yeah.
Chris Casper wrote a column on Tom Brady and Bill Belichick.
He's up to 11th, by the way.
Okay,
he's
good.
Moving up. He saved two runs all season.
That's good. That's
a far
good.
Cry from Lorenzo Cain, who saved 17. But Bradley's the best defensive outfielder, yes.
Among them, sure.
Just won it last year?
He's just outside the top 10.
Okay, well, yeah. How many teams are there? There's got to be hundreds of baseball teams. There's got to be hundreds.
Maybe thousands.
Yeah.
Hundreds, nay thousands.
I can't remember them all. we'll get into Gasper's column a little bit, but not too much, because coming up at noon, Pat's Eagles tonight. On the lookout. What are you on the lookout for tonight in preseason game number two? The Super Bowl rematch, if you will. That'll be at noontime as we fill in for Zoe and Beetle. It's Hardy, Adam Jones, Christian Arcan alongside here on the Sports Hub.
Joe Murray's a little too big to be a cokehead, I would think, right?
Zolak and Bertrand continues on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Jones, you host a radio program. You've been hosting radio programs now for how many years? How long have you been like the lead host on one program another?
Do you count the Dan Shaughnessy Show prominently featuring Adam Jones? Do you count that?
Yes, I do.
Ooh, do you really?
Yeah, you were the lead guy on the show.
Yeah, correct.
I mean, is it Zolak and Bertrand? But Bertrand hosts the show. So I still count that.
Yeah, it's the Dan Shaughnessy Show prominently featuring Adam Jones. I think was the official title. That would be 9 years then. I actually was here at the start of the Sports Hub.
Okay.
For that. Yeah.
All right. So you know how much time we need to get in and out of stuff. Do we have enough time to do the Gasper column right now?
Yeah.
Okay. Chris Gasper today in the Boston Globe. The message was clear with Tom Brady's tweet contract. Bill still reigns. Okay. He said Brady's meager contract adjustment reinforced the chain of command in Foxborough after an offseason that saw the team's two best players go rogue and restored the balance to the Brady-Belichick relationship. The dual message of the contract tweak was clear. Bill still reigns, and Tom, you're not going to get everything you want because of your almost familial bond. hope I'm pronouncing that word right.
Yeah, it's familial.
It's one of those words you see written a lot, and I know what it means.
I do that a lot with the Gasper column. Oh, wait, you know what it means? I know what familial means, but there's a lot of words in Gasper columns where I'm like,
well, there's, you know, we
I think I get the context, but I don't really understand the word.
As humans, we have different vocabularies.
Yep.
There's your written one, your spoken one, your heard one, and whatever. And there are different levels. I'm not completely comfortable saying the word out loud, but familial. Okay, I got it.
I think you got it.
With ownership. So Brady is almost like family with the ownership is what he's saying. Brady was no doubt looking for more lucrative and longer-term restructuring. Score one for Belichick.
Score one for Belichick, yeah.
I don't know that that was the intended effect of the reworked contract between ownership and Tom Brady. And I also still think there's a lot of stuff that goes on between Brady and the Crafts that we know a little bit about, some stuff we don't know about in terms of how he's taken care of, whether it's being allowed to build a house in a place where on land that belongs to Pine Manor College.
How about you said you were following along on the broadcast last week. How about a nice, cushy, a bit of airtime coming out of a break for the TB12 facility on your preseason broadcast? How about that?
I don't know. What do you think the lease on that joint is? What do you think lease space costs at Patriot Place? It can't be cheap.
Nope.
That place is hopping. Mm-hmm. You're going down to Patriot Place. I mean, when they first opened, I worried about that place. I'm like, wow, who's going to come down here? Apparently everybody all the time. Patriot Place is a legit destination. I've been there for non-sporting events, right? I get it. So it can't be cheap to rent down there. You think they're getting the full kit and caboodle in terms of the TB12 leasing? So whatever.
Probably raising rent on him every year, I'd imagine.
I hope he got
rent protection on that thing.
So I believe that Tom Brady is taken care of in a number of ways. However, I agree with Gasper. The particular reworking of this deal, I think, does serve to reinforce the relationship of coach, boss of the team, employer, not the owner, but the guy who's in charge and running things along with Jonathan and everybody else. There's everyone else. And Tom Brady is included in that everyone else. Forgetting and setting aside for a moment the familial relationship with Robert Kraft and anybody else around there. And of course, the guy's been there for a long time.
Sure.
And say what you will about Tom Brady. Not a jerk. Not a bad guy. Absolutely the type of person you want to have that type of relationship with and grow with and build with. And you got no choice now. He's been there for 18 years. Of course, you're going to have all that. But once again, it's been proven there's somebody in charge down there and then there's everybody else.
Okay. So let's say that's all true. Let's say that was the design.
I'm agreeing with Gasper. Is that my long way of saying?
Yeah, fine. Let's say that's all true. Let's say that was part of the design. They realized it got away from them by backing Brady on Garoppolo. So now we need to back Bill. That's really Gasper's main point, right? Okay. All right, we back Brady on this one. Maybe it got a little out of whack. Time now to back Bill and restore order. You know, seems like one of the reasonable takeaways from the column.
Okay.
I would just say, again, I mean, I guess it's better to fix the mistake than not, but I kind of wish they chose their battles a little differently. Like, I kind of wish that, I don't know, there was a way where Garoppolo was still here on the franchise tag, and then you could find out a way to take care of Brady, whether that's paying him or letting Guerrero in. Like, I feel like the approach could have worked out a heck of a lot better if they chose their battles and picked their spots a little differently. Don't back Brady and trade away Garoppolo, then screw Brady over with his contract. I was about to call it an extension. Contract tweak. Like, I feel like there could have been a better approach there from ownership.
Yeah, and it's the first time, really, the Crafts have gotten tough with Tom Brady like this. And you could say maybe it's to make Belichick feel better, something along those lines. But whatever the reason is, we haven't seen the Crafts get like this with Brady ever. I mean, $5 million in incentives like that is unprecedented for him. And considering the age and sort of the fact that there's no plan B, you're right. I mean, it's an odd battle to pick at this particular time and place. You already let the backup go. You know, there's nobody here that you can turn to and say, all right, you're the next guy, and now you're deciding to tweak Brady and not give him, you know, a reasonable raise. Like, it just seems like an odd sequence of events.
Like, by trying to keep everyone happy, this would be a criticism of mine too. If you're trying to keep everyone happy, aren't you just kind of pissing everyone off at the same time?
You're going to make no one happy.
Yeah, like, you're trying to keep everyone happy, you're going to make no one happy. So Belichick, like, do you think you can put that genie back in the bottle? Do you think Bill's like, oh, good, you're putting the screws to Brady a little bit on this contract? Yeah, good. Now I feel okay about trading away Garoppolo, being strong-armed into trading Garoppolo.
The problem with all that, Jones, and I understand what you're saying. There was no way for them to keep Garoppolo that made sense. Yes,
sure,
they could have franchised him, right? But he wants to play. What he wanted more than anything was to go play somewhere, and to pay him that kind of money to literally do nothing. Mm-hmm. Just wait around. What do you do next year after Tom Brady has another MVP season?
But what if he doesn't? Like, so I would have extended it as long as I possibly could have. That's all. I would have strung it along for as long as I possibly could have. Get another year of control. I don't think you can franchise him twice, so I'll acknowledge that. But why not play it out a little bit longer? And then if and when you actually decide to trade Garoppolo, call me crazy, get a little bit more for him. Yeah.
Getting more for him, absolutely.
I understand that's a side debate.
And what it really is whether or not you believe that Garoppolo was traded to appease Tom Brady. That's what it comes down to, I think. Is that what you believe?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I believe that, not totally. I think
that was maybe a nice after effect. I don't think they traded Jimmy Garoppolo to make Tom Brady feel more secure in his job. I don't believe it.
But it wasn't to maximize value either, because they could have done it in the offseason and they waited till the trade deadline. So that didn't make sense.
I don't think they wanted to pay both. My ultimate criticism of ownership in this, and again, aside from them trying to keep everyone happy, is that you really should stay out of football decisions. And I understand this is a big one. And they can run the team however they see fit. It's their team. It's their money. I get it. But if you're asking me what I want my owner to do, it's stay out of football decisions. Give Bill a budget. And if Bill wants to say, look, I know it's a lot of money to pay for a guy to hold the clipboard, but it might help us keep him for the next 10 years and get us into the phase after Tom Brady, then you pay him $25 million to hold the clipboard. And it's easy for Bill to say it's not his money, but that if that's what Bill thinks is best in football operations, then I think they should acquiesce there.
I'm going to make the unprecedented move here of maybe pushing off on the lookout so we can continue with this.
Mm.
Can't do it? T-Bone, we'll decide after Christian Arcand's Hub headlines here, 90 seconds. But it goes back to the time when he was traded. And if I were running the team at that time, why I would have traded him. What I was thinking at that moment and the reason why it went down.
Traded who?
Jimmy Garoppolo.
Okay.
Okay? 90 seconds. More on this. It's Hardy and Jones in for Zoe and Beetle.